Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Waka Kotahi has recently released a report on the Waiheke ferry service after months of locals calling for the service to be subsidised as public transport. The report recognised the service as integral to the Auckland public transport network, but cited not enough evidence to justify a need for subsidising the route as public transport. The ferry route run by Fuller's was the only service running regularly between downtown Auckland and Waiheke Island until a new company, Island Ferry Direct, launched a route last week. I spoke with Chloe Swarbrick, Auckland Central MP, about her frustrations with the Waka Kotahi report and the challenges that Waiheke Island residents are currently facing in regards to the ferry service. We also spoke about what difference Island Ferry Direct will make as a competitive service with Fuller's. What impact do ferry fares currently have on the residents of Waiheke Island?
It's easily one of the biggest issues that I've been dealing with in my time as Auckland Central's MP. So just for context for folks, I have the distinct privilege and honour of also representing 11,000 people who live on Waiheke Island, and the only way on and off that island, unless you're somebody who has extensive resources and the ability to afford a helicopter, which is a whole other issue that we won't get into today, by a boat. And the main route is one which is currently controlled by the Fuller's Ferry Service departing from downtown Auckland to Metiatia Ferry Terminal. That has, as of the early 2010s, been excluded from something called the Public Transport Operating Model, which was first set up by the former national government under actually very dubious reasons. I managed to get an OIA of around 300 pages back from the decision-making and advice that then Minister Stephen Joyce Scott at the time, and it was really clear that officials were stating that this would cause massive anomalies within the system, i.e. by ensuring that this route, which was considered integral to the public transport operation within Auckland as a whole, to Auckland Council and Auckland Transport as our local authorities, but not subjected to the same kind of regulations when it comes to serviceability, affordability, and also then the subsidies which are extended to passengers on these services, means that all of these issues have ultimately eventuated for my constituents on the island. What that means in a daily reality is that people are making decisions on whether to afford groceries or take a trip over to see their sick relatives in the hospital. Parents are having to make trade-offs with sending their kids across to cultural and sporting events in the mainland, and ultimately it is keeping families apart from their ability to engage with the mainland. And the point here really, really needs to be made that this route is not considered a luxury route. It is considered integral to the public transport routes within Auckland per Auckland Council and Auckland Transport, which is not particularly renowned for being an advocacy organisation in its own right. So it's a huge issue and one which massively impacts the affordability and cost of living for my 11,000 constituents on the island.
Is price the main barrier that Waiheke residents are facing, or are there other issues with the service as well?
Price is definitely one of the major ones, but serviceability is another one entirely. So there are definitely massive concerns that I've had raised with me time and again around the frequency with which these services are, for example, being cancelled. But that affordability point is the key one. So what we're dealing with in the most recent round of reporting is I got another Official Information Act request back from Waka Kotahi. We've been putting the pressure on them for the last 3.5 years to reintegrate that route into the public transport operating model, which would then allow Auckland Transport to negotiate on the points of cost and affordability as well as serviceability, and then of course extend those subsidies to Waiheke Islanders and commuters. But Waka Kotahi has just now said in the most circular bureaucratic roundabout logic that I have heard in a really long time, that there is not enough evidence of whether fares need to be regulated. They've come to this conclusion through a really peculiar focus on profit, particularly on whether there is an apparent supernormal profit being made by Fuller's, not on affordability, which is the point of public transport services.
And so stating that there's not enough evidence, what is the evidence that they're implying?
Well, this is perhaps my key point, right, is that they continue to point to the fact that Fuller's right now are making normal, not super normal profits, as opposed to any metric of affordability for people using the service. This is not a standard or a criteria which is applied to any other public transport route in the country. So Waka Kotahi have kind of drawn themselves their own arbitrary standard, which it kind of would be impossible for any public transport to meet. So to that effect, I simply can't tell you what is going on with Waka Kotahi beyond just this kind of inexcusable, circular, bureaucratic logic. And it's incredibly, incredibly frustrating. Meanwhile, my 11,000 constituents on Waiheke Island continue to pay the price of that. And again, it needs to be stated that even Auckland Transport have been explicitly arguing for the regulation of these services since 2019. So I've raised these frustrations once again directly with our mayor. I've also been escalating it to Auckland Transport and directly to Waka Kotahi. However, on the latter point, we're obviously all waiting for the incoming government to get their act together so that we can finally progress on this issue.
Could you explain how the public transport operating model works and what the ferry would look like if it were operating under this?
The public transport operating model came into effect in the early 2010s under the former national government. Basically what it said is that we want local authorities, so effectively councils all around the country, to identify what they consider to be the public transport routes that are integral to the operation of their city. And under that identification of those networks and those routes, there would be a kind of prescribed way that the local authority could engage with third parties to contract for the provision of that public transport service. So this is a really important point because actually baked into that initial PTOM or public transport operating model is the requirement of contracting out. It is kind of the third wayism which, you know, we typically see in trickle-down economics that presumes that we're somehow going to get greater efficiency or affordability out of the private sector, whereas in fact what we see is that with more people having to clip the tickets, it ends up being the users who pay the cost. But that aside, we worked as the Greens and the obviously now outgoing Labour-led government to replace that public transport operating model with something called the Sustainable Transport Framework, which for the first time will allow local authorities to contract or rather to provide provision of public transport services themselves. So that was a pretty marked change and one which was really welcomed, particularly by those who were, for example, rallying in solidarity with bus drivers, because we know that one of the things which has been putting downward pressure on bus driver wages and conditions has been the fact that there has been this third party contracting out and the inability for local authorities to meaningfully enforce things like living wage standards or otherwise. So under that transition from the public transport operating model into the far better sustainable transport framework, unfortunately, we have seen the grandfathering or the carrying over of this exclusion in the PTOM for the Waiheke ferry route. It needs to be made, the point really needs to be made clearly, that this is the only public transport route in the entire country which is identified by the local authority as integral to the public transport network of the city, town or region, but is explicitly excluded under the legislation, the primary legislation from Parliament, from being integrated within that public transport operating model, now the sustainable transport framework. So therein kind of lies the problem and the points that I'm making here with the latest round of kind of official advice we've managed to extract out of Waka Kotahi. It's not been an easy process. I had to OAA them in order to get it. We've seen that they've just engaged once again in kicking the can further and further down the road, and it is my community that pays the price for that.
A new ferry service in Waiheke Island, Direct Ferry, launched last week. Will a competing ferry service likely provide any sort of relief for commuters price-wise, or perhaps strengthen the argument of a necessity of these services?
Yeah, my constituents are really, really excited about the prospect for this, especially the fact that this one is being run by locals. However, it does need to be said that the kind of way that Fullers have managed to establish themselves, particularly with the utilisation of those wharfs downtown and obviously at the theatre, does mean that they have quite a substantive incumbent advantage. All of that said, though, we have seen competitors come and go over the past wee while, and some would argue, as the point has been made before, that the market is perhaps a little bit too small in order to pretend as though competition is going to be the thing which is going to drive down costs. So I think that actually we need to reframe the conversation and say, what is it that we're actually talking about here? What we're talking about is something which is identified by the local authority. Again, we have an incoming government that's made a lot of song and dance about the fact that they care about localism and local decision making, so it's time to put their money where their mouth is. This local authority in the form of Auckland Transport, as designated by Auckland Council, is saying that this is a route which is integral to the public transport network within Auckland. To that effect, it should be treated as public transport. But instead, it seems as though Waka Kotahi has got the wrong end of the stick and is framing this up in terms of the profits of the current provider as excluded from the public transport operating model, now the sustainable transport framework. And that is the problem. We are not looking at this from the perspective of affordability for commuters, but from the angle of profits for the currently commercial provider. And that's just mind-blowing.
Are we likely to see much investment in public transport under a new government? And where does the likelihood of pushing further with the case of Waiheke stand?
You know, I've sat in Parliament now for the past 6 years, the same amount of time actually that our presumed incoming Minister of Transport, that being Simeon Brown, who, by the way, I also went to University of Auckland with. He was at law school at the same time when he founded Pro-Life on Campus and got disaffiliated from AUSA, and it was BFM who was reporting on it back in the day. But Simeon, as the Minister of Transport, is, I guess to be quite frank, quite a terrifying proposition. He has made it abundantly clear in some pretty peculiar statements over the last few years about how he, for example, doesn't believe that public transport should be subsidised at all, the prioritisation of roads as opposed to the flow of people around cities, and all of that is a recipe for all the more congestion and for all the more climate-changing emissions, as well as paired with the National Party's promise to roll back some of the groundbreaking agreements that we managed to get with regard to greater density within our city form. So ultimately, I am quite concerned about what the incoming National Act New Zealand First government means for public transport, for climate action, and for cities and density done well. But hey, look, this is the opportunity for everybody to realise that politics doesn't just happen every 3 years with a general election. It happens every single day with decisions that are made that impact and saturate our daily lives. So there's a really, really important call to action to start organising as soon as we start to see the kind of plans from the incoming government. When it comes to the opportunities that we've got for Waiheke Island, again, here I would say that the sustainable transport framework is something which exists, and I don't know if the government has plans to roll that back, but if they do, they're probably just going to roll it back to the public transport operating model that was obviously first established by the former national government and goes back to that contracting out kind of privatisation type of approach. And even on that basis, they had excluded the Waiheke Ferry. But I would say that they have, again, made all of those points quite ideologically and I would hope pragmatically as well about the importance of localised decision making. So on this point, they should be heeding the calls of Auckland Transport and Auckland Council, for the very least, the incorporation of that route into the public transport operating model, if not the sustainable transport framework.
That was Auckland Central MP Chloe Sporbrick speaking to me about a recent report on the Waiheke ferry service from Waka Kotahi.